And so I wanted to kind of work with these big brands, teach their team marketing teams how to do a better job. And I left my corporate job and I found my first big brand to work with. And the more and more I was helping them, I realized I don't necessarily like working with corporate brands, even if it's not, you know.
This is Sasha Kennedy, previously marketing strategy and business planning manager for Delta Defense, working closely with the U.S. Concealed Carry Association. I'm Sonia, the host of the Plan B podcast. Here we talk about instances where Plan A didn't work out, how to pivot to get on with Plan B, and what learnings stay with us as part of the experience. I wanted to talk with Sasha as she set up her consultancy during the beginning of a full-blown global pandemic. Jumping off the corporate bandwagon is always scary. However, doing it like this can feel like jumping off a cliff without a parachute. We will talk about how her initial plan to work with large big-name companies got impacted by the power of TikTok, how she discovered small businesses and what impact it had on her consultancy and her approach to marketing, and her advice and recommendations on setting up a business during a global pandemic. Welcome to the Plan B podcast, Sasha. It's so exciting to have you.
Thank you for having me, Sonia. I'm so excited to be here.
It's so great to see you. So we are actually, where do we know each other from? Do you want to explain?
Yes, we know each other from TikTok. If you're listening and you don't know what TikTok is, it is the new-ish. I'd say it's still gaining traction. Short video platform where people think it's just a bunch of young kids dancing, but there's actually, I actually like to think of TikTok as like the algorithm. It's almost like a 90s lunchroom with different groups of people sitting at different tables. So there's like the marketing and business side of TikTok, which is where we know each other from, but there's also like a plant, how to grow a plant TikTok, and there's dance TikTok, and there's fashion TikTok. So yeah, it's like if you're looking to gain a ton of knowledge and be entertained, then TikTok is the app for you.
TikTok is definitely the app for you. And I think we should take the opportunity to plug your account. So what's your account handle?
Yes, my account handle is BizCoachSasha. So I am a marketing and business coach. I help small business owners build life-changing brands with Marketing Made Human. So I'm all about, you know, getting down and dirty with small business owners, helping them grow their business through tips, tools, and tactics.
Very good. So if you guys are interested in building amazing brands, Sasha is definitely your person, your number one contact, and you should definitely check her out. I'm so excited to have her on because obviously Sasha has a story to tell where, you know, she had a plan A and it didn't necessarily work out right away, and she pivoted and she went for plan B. And I think it's a situation that a lot of small business owners or people that are just starting their own thing are probably facing. So we'll be talking about that today, and I'm super excited for her to share that with us. But before we dive into that, do you want to tell me a little bit about your view on mistakes and failure in life, and sort of generally speaking, what's your view on them? Is it important, or are you not really a fan? I'm sure most people are not.
I'm actually a total fan, maybe not in the moment that it's happening, but I think I've come to realize after making plenty of mistakes in my own life that mistakes and failure are really just a necessity to success. You are not going to succeed unless you fail over and over again and you keep showing up over and over again. And so I'm a big fan of learning from mistakes and seeing how you can improve going forward. And I guess I love your podcast and like the whole concept of it because, and what we're going to get to in a second, spoiler alert, like sometimes a plan B is better than the plan A. So I think just kind of rolling with the punches and, you know, learning from what you can, like mistakes are just so critical to becoming who you really are.
Very, very wise words. And I think it's true that when they happen, you know, you're not a big fan of them. You're just like, oh, damn, I wish that wouldn't have happened. But it's true. And I can talk from personal experience as well. Plan B does usually work out better than plan A because, you know, you've also gained experience that otherwise you wouldn't have. And usually that makes life a lot easier later on.
Yeah. So my plan A, in the beginning of 2020, I decided to leave my corporate job. I was a marketing strategist for an Inc. 5000 company, and I wanted to go off on my own and do consulting for big brands and help make their marketing more human, help them with their branding, and teach their marketing team how to do a better job of taking a customer-led approach to their marketing. And so that was my plan A. I wanted to work with big brands. And when I first left, that is what I did. I got my first big brand client. And should we go into how plan B kind of came about or?
Wait, before we go into that, actually what I'm interested to find out is, so you were working for, you know, a very large company at the time. And clearly you decided that you wanted to do your own thing, which is great. Your decision to actually work with big companies at the time, was that because that was the most comfortable thing for you at the time because you knew already that environment? Or how did you come to decide, okay, I'm going to target big companies?
Yeah, I think it's just all that I was used to. It's what was comfortable, I suppose, at the time. You know, I learned a lot from digital marketing courses and gurus who are often targeting their messaging towards big brands with marketing teams. And, you know, I've been to tons of conferences and that's kind of what they're all targeting. So it was more like that was like in my immediate view. Like that's kind of what I thought my life would always be, was working with bigger brands.
And so when you were reaching out to all these big companies, I'm assuming you were mostly reaching out to people in your network, or were you going even beyond that at the time to get your first client?
Yeah, no, I was using my network and I was staying local and just kind of focusing on like, okay, for me to leave my corporate job, I need to have at least one big client that I can take on right away. So yeah, I wasn't really focused on, okay, how am I going to get like more and more big brands? I was just trying to find that one brand that would help me leave my corporate job. And that is, to this day, that is the one brand I've worked with since I left my corporate.
And so when you're saying your plan was to get one client, you know, a lot of people that start their own consultancy, they almost set up these financial targets for themselves, right? And they say, you know, I need to get my first big client within the, I don't know, first 3-4 months or something to survive and do well. Is that what you were targeting yourself on as well?
Yes. Yep. Except I was determined to find one before I left, before I put my 2 weeks in.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very ambitious. Okay, great. And obviously you did.
Yes. And because it was through, you know, contacts and things like that, I think it came a little bit easier than if I was just cold trying to find someone.
Someone random. Okay. No, that makes perfect sense. And I think a lot of people would probably have done the same because that was the area that you felt most comfortable with and you were working within your own network and within the, you know, within the area that you were comfortable with. And to make a big step like becoming independent, you know, that's already quite scary for a lot of people. So it makes sense to de-risk it as much as possible. So that was your plan A at the time. Can you tell us a little bit more what didn't feel quite right?
So they're actually still one of my clients. So it's nothing like wrong about them. It was more so what happened when I got onto TikTok. Like, I can't wait to dive into this because it wasn't like there was anything wrong, I guess. We'll get into it in a second, but there wasn't anything that was horrible about plan A. A plan B just kind of sparked up and I was like, okay, I think that I'm more interested in this. So when I got on TikTok, I started sharing, you know, business and marketing tips, again, thinking I was going to be talking to other digital marketers, other brands. And what I found was all of my followers were small business owners. And I could tell right away because all the questions they asked were that they didn't understand what I was talking about, because Small business owners don't necessarily understand marketing and marketing terms. They just understand business and that they want to increase their sales and they want to increase their leads. And they don't necessarily know what the four P's of marketing mean to them. And so what I kind of found was, okay, let me start catering my messaging to these small business owners. And I just fell in love with it. Like, I fell in love with getting to know these people and their dreams and their bigger why. Like, it's so much more personal than working like with a big brand. Like, it's to get to know, you know, that they're doing this for their family and so that they can go full time and live, you know, have financial freedom and create memories with their family. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, this is way, way more fun than working with a big brand. So that's kind of how Plan B sparked, was kind of by accident. And I just fell in love with it and said, okay, let me compare these two experiences and which one I want to do going forward.
So when you, so obviously nowadays, you know, you have decided to work more mostly with small businesses, and that's the direction that you want to take. But before you made that decision, because sometimes when I talk with other people, you know, there's definitely a certain ego involved as well. You know, you could have like these huge names on your website or on your client list, or you can have mostly small businesses on your client list, but maybe do more meaningful work. So was there any ego and was there any ego involved in that at all, or was the decision quite easy to make at the time?
You know, I don't think there was any ego involved whatsoever, because I think being able to share the results of a small business owner is almost more powerful. Like, it's kind of like saying, yeah, this big brand that is already making millions of dollars, like, we made them, you know, they saw a 10% increase in sales. Like, it's kind of like, oh, cool. But when you get to share the personal story of a mom who got to go full time in doing what she loves and leave her job that she hated and spend more time with her kids, like, that to me is like, that's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to share. That's what I want to help do. So, you know, working with big brands, it's fun, but it's just not, at least right now, it just wasn't fulfilling me in the same way.
Do you now know in retrospect why you didn't consider small businesses at the beginning of your journey? Was it just a blind spot?
Yeah, I think it was just a blind spot because I didn't understand the model of it. Like, I didn't understand. I just didn't know really that it was a thing. Kind of like when I was in college, this is a little off topic, but I was a mass communication major and I knew I wanted to do writing, but I didn't really even know that like sales copy writing and marketing was like a thing. Like, obviously I knew that there was advertisements, but I never really considered it a thing. I just always was like, oh, I'm going to be a writer. And then after college, I got my first job in sales copy thinking it was not, like, I thought it was journalism. This is another funny story where I thought I was getting into one thing and then it turned into something else. And they're like, oh no, yeah, you're going to be writing like advertisements. And I was like, well, this is cool. And I fell in love with it. So like, that's how I started in my career in the beginning, actually, too, was from a plan B that I didn't know was a plan. So yeah, crazy stuff. I think it's just, we're so much like, it's just a human nature thing. Like, what's in front of us, our environment, you know, that's what we think the world is. And I think that's why it's so important to open yourself up to possibilities, like learn as much as you can, read as much as you can, like listen to a podcast that you didn't think you would even be interested in just to see like what you learn. Like, just, yeah.
That's actually a great transition, because that was actually my first question to my next question to you, which is, let's say we have people listening to this podcast right now who are wanting to start their own thing, and it could be something marketing related or it could be something completely different. If you could tell your past self, you know, advice, what advice would you give them to maybe avoid going down plan A in the first place?
I think my biggest piece of advice would be just to get started. As messy as it is, just get started, because I feel like I wasted a lot of time planning and worrying and thinking about, you know, trying to plan out every move and, you know, this is how it's going to go. And like some of the business documents I created of how I was going to do, like I didn't even like look at them a second time, because it just, when I started working with people, it wasn't that what I originally thought at all. So I think just like doing and learning from what you like, what's working, what's not working, like you will learn more just by getting started than trying to plan out every aspect of it.
I think that's great advice, because there's so many young people, especially, who are trying to forge their own path and do their own thing. And I think they're just worried that they might not get it right, or that they might not do it the way it's supposed to be done, whatever that is, nobody knows. Mm-hmm. But you know, listening to, there's so many gurus out there and so many, you know, millionaires who are telling you, you know, follow these simple steps. But it's not really like that, is it?
No, not at all. I wish it was.
So can you tell me a little bit more about, when you were setting up your current business, what were, you know, the key things that you did? Well, even now in retrospect, you might think they might have been wrong, but what if you had to tell someone or give advice on how to start your own business, what would you say are the things to consider, at least? Maybe not the steps, but the things to consider.
Yeah, for sure. I would say like the first thing is to, I'm going to say find your niche, but like, it's not even that serious of like, what is a niche? Like basically just figure out what you want to do. Like it doesn't have to be planned out to the exact, but like, what are you good at? What are you passionate about? What could you do and talk about day in and day out that will make you happy and like that you could monetize? So like first figure out what that is. And then once you have that, like the very first important step is to define your customer, define your audience. Who are they? Not just like their demographics or anything you've ever heard anyone explain, but like what keeps them up at night? Who are they? What are their problems? What are their dreams? What are their goals? And how can you and your business solve those problems? How can you help them live the life of their dreams? And how can you communicate that to them? Like understanding that as a foundation is so important, because once you know who they are and what they care about, now you can see, okay, well, where are they? Like, how can I reach them? How do I get my message in front of them? And then, you know, figuring out how you're going to communicate to them and what that's going to look like. And then you just start showing up, you start getting your message out there, and you just learn as you go, for sure.
Sasha, that actually brings up another question of mine. If people wanted to do more research on their customers and consumers, where would they go and what would they do?
Yeah, so obviously it's going to depend on any industry or whatever you're trying to do. So I'm going to speak a little bit vaguely, but really the biggest thing that I start with always is Google. Like usually there is some customer research that is already done for your product or your industry, something that you can learn from. And I just spend a couple hours looking up those things. And then I start to use certain tools. Like once I kind of have whatever's available readily online, then I start to go and use tools like answerthepublic.com, which shows you what questions people are asking in your industry. And this is like a wide open tool to help you kind of figure out like, okay, this is how you figure out their problems, by figuring out what they're asking. And then there's a ton of other research tools like BuzzSumo, and we could go into that for hours, but like there's research tools that you can see, okay, what are people searching online? What platforms are they searching on? And that's how you start to develop your plan of how you're going to reach them. But like, if that's not your thing, like another thing you can do is like literally just go collect qualitative data. Like, for example, I don't know, let's just say your target audience is small business owners. Like you could go to a farmer's market where there are small business owners, and you could just start meeting them. You could start talking to them. You could start asking them questions, start a conversation. Like, it doesn't always have to be so like black and white. Yeah, I'm doing market research. Like, that you're going to learn more just by having a conversation with someone than anything else. So yeah, like figure out what that means for you and how you can just start learning those things. And then obviously as you build your own audience, now you can start asking them questions. You can survey them. You can ask for them to comment their answer about certain things. And that's how you start to like really learn again after you start. How can I refine this? How do I make it better? How do I learn more? So I think those are the biggest things that I help my clients do.
That makes total sense. And in your case, obviously, you also got a lot of questions and found out a lot about small businesses on TikTok, didn't you? Because that's mm-hmm. what you said earlier. You went on TikTok and you thought you were talking with maybe bigger brands, but actually a lot of small businesses were commenting on your TikToks and asking interesting questions that they were struggling with. So would you say that your original intention for TikTok was also different to what you're doing right now?
Oh, totally. I cringe looking at some of my first TikToks. It's totally different. And like I continuously learn every time I post a new one, what people like, what they don't, what they want to see more of. So yeah, it's ever evolving.
So I guess if there's any small business owners listening to this podcast, go on Sasha's TikTok and ask her loads of questions, because as mm-hmm. you just heard, she is constantly adjusting and trying to answer all the questions you all have. So that is a great strategy. And I think it's a great way also to round up today's podcast, in that plan B's usually work out better than plan A's. And, you know, the reward of that is constantly adjusting and constantly learning as part of the process. So super excited. Thank you so much for being on this podcast, Sasha. It has been an absolute pleasure. And can you just repeat one more time your TikTok handle for those who want to follow?